In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This sermon is based on the words of St. Paul in Romans 12, specifically these words. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is our text. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're in the political season right now. We always are, I think. I saw campaign signs on my drive here. If you pay much attention, you will hear in the campaign a familiar cry. It's a cry that's not only on the lips of politicians. You'll hear it from many, many others, from adults to children also. You'll hear it from workers as well as employers. You'll hear it in the halls of Congress and in our homes, in schools, hospitals, churches, police departments, prisons. A familiar cry that's not new. It has sounded throughout the ages, and it will do so until the end of ages. In fact, we heard this cry this morning from the lips of the prophet Jeremiah, and also from the apostle Peter. This cry, which we've all heard, is this: it's not fair! It's not fair. Fairness, justice, the acknowledgement and rewarding of what is right and those who do right, as well as the exposing and punishing of what is wrong and those who do wrong. This, well, it's what we want, isn't it? It's what is fair. But instead, injustice and unfairness are what we often see and experience. So, how do you handle it? How do you respond when bad things, and especially injustices, are done to you? How should you, as God's child in Christ, handle it and respond? Start by not being surprised. Expect injustices. There will always be injustices. We live in a world of sinners. And Jesus' rebuke of his apostle Peter: you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Well, that reveals that these injustices, they apply to us all. The things of man and not the things of God are what are so often in our hearts. We have our own ideas of justice, and frankly, what is best for me, for oneself. That is usually at the heart of our ideas of justice. Our own selfishness, which often causes us also to act unfairly and cry out, it's not fair! Years and years ago, back when my brother Don was 15, he got a job as a dishwasher at a local country club. Well, one day he rode to work on his brand new 10-speed bike. He had scrimped and saved for months to buy that bike. Parked it behind the club, went in to work as a dishwasher. While he's working, a guy comes in and says, "Hey, by the way, I just saw one of the club members pull in and he backed right into your bike and crunched it." Yeah, Don was really upset. But the member sought him out and came to him. The member was Powell Crosley. Mr. Crosley was a multimillionaire, an icon in the Cincinnati area. And he said, "Don't worry about it, son. Go buy yourself a new bike. I'll pay for it." And Don said, "Great! Now I can get a really good bike." And he told me, and I said, "Absolutely. He's rich. So get whatever you want." And Dad said, "You will get the exact same bike that you bought." "But Dad, that's not fair." Now, my brother Don and I, along with our brother Bill, we were raised as good Lutheran boys, raised in the church. And yet, injustice, taking advantage, and putting oneself above others, well, boy, that quickly rose up in us when the opportunity presented itself. This is in all of our hearts. I thank God that I had parents who not only taught us God's justice, but also taught us that God is more than simply just. God gives. That's above all his nature. He gives, even when he knows that his gift will not be appreciated or acknowledged. God, in his goodness and generosity, Jesus says, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so the things of God are giving and sacrificing for the good of others, even and especially the unjust. Whereas the things of man are seeing justice as what is good for oneself. God wants you to honor him by learning his justice and living it out. And as you do, your Lord will be pleased. And you will experience injustice. It's the way of our fallen world. But as you suffer injustice, and especially when you do so because you are emulating Christ, never doubt that your God sees this and knows your burden and that he cares and that he will act. You are his beloved. It's easy, of course, to forget this. Consider Jeremiah, how he loved his Lord and loved God's words. "Your words were found and I ate them," Jeremiah says. "And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart." And he followed them and he let God's words direct his life. What we all should do. And yet, because of this, Jeremiah was persecuted. And when he didn't see a response from God, he cried out, "Oh Lord, you know! Remember me and visit me and take vengeance on my persecutors." This is what we want. And on the one hand, it was good that Jeremiah turned it over to God. This is what we all need to do. But then, doubt crept in. And Jeremiah said to God, "Will you be to me like a deceitful brook? Like waters that fail?" In other words, will you promise and yet not deliver? That's not fair. Don't doubt your God, or doubt his justice, even when you don't see it. Remember, you are loved by your Father. He sees and knows all that happens in your life. And this includes not only the injustices you suffer, it also includes the injustices that you commit, even against your God, your doubts, and your cries against him. And yes, he responds. He has responded with his Son. God sent his Son as the ultimate solution to injustice. And his cross is where God deals with injustice, putting Jesus, not simply a good and loving and holy man, but the very Son of God, one with his Father from eternity and with the Holy Spirit, putting him to death on a cross. That seems utterly unjust. And Peter certainly saw it that way. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. What Peter failed to see was that the cross would be all about justice. In some way that is beyond our understanding, God laid upon his Son the sins and injustices of the world, of every person who ever lived or ever will live, yours and mine included. And God made Jesus accountable for these sins. And bearing these sins, Jesus literally became the greatest of all sinners, the most selfish and unjust person who ever lived, right there, hanging on the cross. And God then punished him for those sins. And so you see, God is not a deceitful brook. He is not waters that fail. He does not ignore sin and injustice or just forget about it. That would be unjust. Justice is punishing wrongdoing. And when Jesus bore the sins of the world, God responded to the injustice he saw in him by turning his goodness away from his Son and pouring out upon him instead his anger and his punishment and putting him to death. Jesus' death is the place where the just God has dealt with unjust sinners. And he did it there, that he might spare you. Jesus didn't cry out, "It's not fair!" He willingly offered himself in your place, in my place, in place of all sinners. And so his Father on the third day raised him from the dead, proclaiming the justice of what Jesus had done. And he seated him at his right hand in heaven, the place of the highest honor. And God has also made him the eternal judge. And Jesus says that one day he will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Then his vengeance will be seen by all. And those who dealt unjustly and did not repent, and who dealt unjustly with his people, they will be punished and his children will be freed forever. In your baptism, you received this Jesus. He speaks to you constantly through his word. You are receiving his very body into your bodies this day in Holy Communion. And by faith in him, You not only receive the verdict of not guilty, he has borne your sins, they're taken care of. By faith, you also receive a new life. Because you see, receive Christ. He, with his life, fills and renews his believers. And so Jesus now lives in you. And he acts through you who believe in him. You carry in your very bodies his justice and his life. So what does this mean for you when injustice is done for you, done against you? Well, you are God's beloved children in Christ. You're like Christ, for you are as him in this unjust world. And so you, God's beloved, don't simply have to endure it and grumble and cry out, "This is not fair." You can live as Christ lived and overcome evil with good. The good of Christ's mercy and love and forgiveness. The Apostle Paul makes so very clear what this means. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. By so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. The hope is that your goodness and mercy, the goodness and mercy of Christ, which is so contrary to the things of men, will touch the minds and hearts of those who are acting against you and burn in their hearts and minds to lead them to see their sin and repent and hopefully embrace the Savior who has saved your life. And so they too may receive God's eternal justice and peace and hope in Christ. Pray for this. Trust in your Lord and Savior. And then, as Psalm 37 says, commit your labors to the Lord, especially your labors against sin and injustice. And the Lord says, you shall be as my mouth. As he said to Jeremiah, he says to you, I will make you a fortified wall of bronze. People will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. This promise is yours, because you belong to Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, the final and eternal justice of God. In his name, amen.